Welcome to the Field Log Podcast, weekly reflections for the Warrior King to help you master yourself, fulfill your purpose, and conquer the day. I'm your host, Marcian Sicario. Field Log, Day 87. Your pet is your property. Now, this is one of those ideas that I've had for a field log since the very beginning, actually, since before we started the Field Log Podcast. And it's one of those pet peeves that I have, no pun intended, one of those issues that I think about a lot that I find a lot of people don't think about, a lot of people don't talk about. And of course, in the greatest form of irony that could possibly have happened, this is the episode of all the episodes that we've recorded so far where my cat is actually sitting in my lap. I'm getting ready to record this episode. I lean over and she climbs into my lap and now she's sitting there comfortably purring. And before we dive into what it is that I'm talking about here, why I think that this is something worth thinking about and worth exploring, I should just give a quick disclaimer. I love animals. I can't really think of a person who doesn't love animals, right? Animals are fantastic, especially pets. They're innocent creatures. All they want is food and sleep and attention and love, right? You can't get around loving them. They're sweet. They're funny. They're just all around a good time. A lot of people will do things maliciously. Your pets generally don't, at least if you have a good one. Now, that being said, as Dahlia is sitting in my lap, I want to make a statement that you may not have heard before. Your pet is your property. One more time. Your pet is your property. You own your pet. You have ownership of your pet. Just like you own your clothes and your car and your laptop or whatever else it is, your pet is your property. Now, that might sound a little harsh, and I understand that some people might be offended by this, so I want to be able to take 20 minutes, just give me 20 minutes, to explain this concept and why I think it's important to talk about this. There are a lot of people nowadays who treat their pets like their children, right? You see this all the time. You hear the phrase all the time. You hear it all the time. Fur babies, right? Referring to your pets. Fur babies. Is I don't have children, I don't have human babies, I have fur babies. My pet is my baby, my pet is my child. Why? If you want children, wouldn't you just have children? Why do you feel the need to take a creature that's not human and refer to it like it's human? And why is that problematic? Well, here's the way it appears to me. Here's my theory on this. People don't have an understanding of metaphysics anymore. People don't have an understanding of proper Orthodox Christian teaching anymore. They don't understand the difference between humans and animals, right? This is a very secular view. The only difference between me and the animal is that I'm a smarter animal. That's the only difference, right? If you were to jack up the cat's IQ to where I am, it would be indistinguishable from me. So, of course, animals deserve the exact same treatment as humans. And now, I'm not against treating animals with respect. Like I said, I have a cat. I love my cat. She's wonderful. I treat her very well, as I do with my other possessions. But the reason people see pets as children now, as having the same level of dignity as humans, right? This is where the vegan movement comes from, is you can't possibly kill and eat an animal because you'd never do that to a human. The place that comes from is that there's an improper understanding in our culture of the metaphysics of creatures, of the makeup of the creature. What is it made of? Well, in Orthodox theology, and please check this with your priest, as usual, I'm not a priest. There's a disclaimer in the show notes, so you can read that. But I read in, I think it was Metropolitan Hilarion's Orthodoxy series. This is a very long series. I read almost 2 years ago. So, you know, some of the details are fuzzy. But I read that the difference between the three types of sentient creatures, right? Spiritual beings like angels and demons, physical creatures like humans, and then, of course, animals as well. The difference between those three creatures is that an animal has a body and a spirit. An angel has a spirit and a soul, but only a human being has all three. Right? So there is spirit, soul, body. Body, of course, very obvious. It's the corporeal material form that you have. An animal obviously has it. You can touch the animal. You, as a human, obviously have it. You can touch another human being. You can feel that person's skin. An angel does not. An angel is a spiritual being that does not have a physical form. Then spirit. Spirit is that which animates the living creature. It's different from a soul, right? It's different from a soul. And sometimes you hear this explained slightly differently, right? There is even some discussion among Orthodox theologians about this, right? Is the spirit the nous, which is something only humans have? Is the soul, what I'm currently calling the spirit, that which animates? Forgetting the semantics for a second, spirit is that which animates a creature, right? A rock, a car, doesn't have a spirit. So in that way, an animal has more dignity than an object, of course. Of course, you should treat your animal better than your car. If you really want to, you can take a hammer to your car. It's bad stewardship, right? But you could do it if you really felt like it. And you wouldn't have to feel bad about it. I wouldn't say that it's particularly immoral. It's not great. But an object like a rock or a car is not animated, right? It doesn't live. It doesn't breathe. It doesn't move. All of the living creatures that we know about, from the smallest single-celled organisms, right, the little microbes, to the largest blue whale, have a spirit, something that animates them. And when that spirit leaves, that creature dies. Angels have spirit. Humans have spirit, right? Humans have all three. And animals have spirit. So an animal is a physical body animated by a spirit. And then there's the soul, the rational soul specifically. That which allows you to think and contemplate, right? Animals, I suppose in some way you could say they think, right? Their brain fires neurons and they do things, right? I'm hungry, I eat. I'm tired, I sleep. It's mating season, I mate. They're driven by base animal instincts. But they don't have a rational soul. Humans have a rational soul. I have self-awareness. I can talk to you, knowing that you have self-awareness. I can contemplate things like God and the nature of the universe. All of the things an angel can do and I can do, an animal cannot do. So animals don't have a soul, whereas humans and angels do. So because of that, an animal comes into your life. Let's say you have a pet, you adopt a pet or you buy a pet. That's not a human being. And the reason I think that this is so important, you know, assuming that this argument has convinced you, right, from a theological perspective, from a Orthodox theological perspective, an animal is different from a human because it doesn't have a rational soul. Assuming that argument has convinced you, how could you possibly think it's okay to elevate animals to the same level as a human, right? We have an episode on this, Kiss the Ring, right? The concept of honoring authority. And I always say that the dignity of a human being comes from the image of God in us. An animal doesn't have the image of God in it. And I'm not saying this to be mean, and I really hope that you listening don't take it that way. And if I'm offending you, forgive me, please forgive me. I don't mean to upset anybody. But I think it's very important to talk about this because it's by the perversion of these natural realities, these natural concepts, that the devil wins, right? By elevating an animal, which is still something you should love, which is still something you should take care of and treat with respect, of course, I do that too. I love my cat. By elevating a creature like that to the level of a human being, you're diminishing the value of a human being. We are infinitely valuable because of the image of God in us, right? I read somewhere before that, and I think this was some sort of Protestant Instagram post or something along those lines, that when God made the trees, he spoke to the earth. And when he made the fish, he spoke to the water. But when he made humans, when he made man, he spoke to himself. So a tree taken out of the ground will die. A fish taken out of the water will die. And a human taken out of the presence of God will die a spiritual death. So it's us, humans, who uniquely have the image of God, who are uniquely able to be his children, to be adopted. You can't baptize a cat. You can't. You could try, but it's not a baptism. You can dunk a cat in water 3 times, and I'm telling you, she won't be happy about it. But you can't baptize a cat. So by elevating animals to the level of human beings, we have lowered the dignity of the human. And that's ultimately what the devil wants, right? We know this, right? If you're a Christian, you know this, that the devil wants us to be like animals. So any philosophy that teaches you that humans are animals, we're just animals, is demonic, is from the devil. Any philosophy. We are not animals. We are not just like animals. We are from a biological classification in the kingdom Animalia, yes. Because physiologically, we function like animals, right? We eat, we sleep, we reproduce. But ontologically, in our being, we are not animals. We are unique. We're like the angels, but with a body. We're like animals, but with a rational soul. We are made in God's image. We are God's children if we choose to be baptized. And that's something we have to remember. So the concept of the fur baby, and people will refer to themselves as fur parents, it's perverse. Right? And of course, I understand that this word is very charged. And again, I've explained this before, but I'll explain it again right now to minimize the offense that it caused to other people, because I don't mean to offend anybody. But perversion, right? Versus from the Indo-European, we talked about this yesterday, is a straight line. A versus is a straight line. If you think about a poem, a verse in a poem is a line. And then per means to end or to perfect or to bend. So you're bending a straight line. You're deviating something from its purpose. The purpose of animals is to serve us. And of course, those things that serve us, we treat with respect. Like the car, I said, you really shouldn't take a hammer to your car. You should treat it with respect. You should be appreciative to God. And then of course, because an animal has feelings, they do have emotions, you should treat them with love and respect. But you should understand that they are your property. And if you elevate them to the level of your children, if you do that, if you're elevating animals to the level of your children, the devil wins. They are not your children. If you want to feel the love and connection that a human being feels with children, if you really have that desire in your heart, if God has placed that desire in your heart, have children. It's that easy. Get married, have kids. You should, if God is calling you to that. Now, this idea leads into the larger concept of putting things in their place, right? A lot of times we talk about putting ourselves in our place, and most people can get behind that. Everyone has a natural inclination against wanting to be arrogant, not wanting to be seen as arrogant, of course. We don't want to be seen as arrogant. Everyone who has at least a good character, I would say, wants to be humble. I want to be humble. I desperately want to be humble. I spent 25, 26 years of my life not being humble. To this day, I struggle with this. I was talking to my uncle about this weekend, right? He was visiting. I saw him for the first time in 14 years, which was, of course, incredible. Seeing him, talking to him now that I'm an adult, right? Last time he saw me, I was 14. Now I'm 28. So half my life, I didn't see him. And we were talking about this idea of arrogance and how I'm always worried that I'm arrogant. I'll say things sometimes, like, man, that was so arrogant. And I really don't like that about myself. So we have a natural inclination to put ourselves in our place and understand that ultimately, compared to God, we are nothing. And it's through God's grace and mercy that we are something. It's His image in us that makes us something. Or let's say you're the boss at a company, right? Maybe you're a CEO of some sort. You have a small business, maybe a large business. I don't know. You want your employees to respect you and do as you tell them within reason, of course. If you tell your employees to do this piece of work or do that piece of work, you want them to listen because that's how it ought to be. They ought to respect authority. So when God put us into the Garden of Eden, what did He say to Adam? He said, take care of all of this. I want you to take care of the trees. I want you to take care of the animals, right? And you can hunt them and you can eat them, but you should do it with respect. You should give thanks to God for providing that animal that you can hunt it and respect it. You know, like you hear this about Native American culture, for example. They'll hunt an animal and then they'll be very grateful for it and they'll use every piece of the animal when they can. Which, by the way, is very healthy to eat. You know, the organ meats and all those things, very healthy. But if you start to elevate the animal to the level of the human, then the natural conclusion is veganism. But the thing is, why stop there? Why just the animals? If an animal who has, let's say you're metric for value was intelligence, which it shouldn't be, of course. We talked about this yesterday too. But you're saying that no matter how unintelligent an animal should be treated equally to a human. Why not the same for plants? Right? Plants are even less intelligent than animals. They're less sentient. But why not treat them with respect and not eat them and hurt them and kill them? So at that point, you'll eat nothing and then you'll just starve. And then you treated everything with respect, all of God's creation, all of his creatures, except for yourself. So we do hunt and kill and eat to live. We do that. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with this. It's okay. What is wrong is to treat something above its station or, and this one's easier to accept, below its station, right? If you have an animal, which is still a creature, God's creature that you can love and adore and respect, if you kick it and you never feed it and you leave it out in the cold, people say, that's awful. You can't do that. Of course not. You're treating it below its station. It's still a sentient creature. Or if you have a friend and you treat him terribly, that's also awful. But if you elevate your friend to some sort of God status, worship him as God, that's equally awful. So if you can elevate a human to the level of a God, and that's awful, how can you elevate an animal to the level of a human? You can't. It's unnatural. And I don't mean to use the appeal to nature fallacy. I'm not saying that's the only reason it's bad. I've given plenty of reasons. But it's also unnatural to not understand that your pet is your property. And once you go there, like I said, where do you stop? Why not plants? Right? Why not even inanimate object? What is it about sentience that makes something valuable? Why not inanimate objects? Why can't you worship your car? But you see this now where people have this mental disorder where they have sexual attraction to objects, right? You see these like little 30-minute pieces on TV, and I never watch them, obviously. I barely watch TV as it is. But you see little clips, like 3-4-minute clips, and some man is in a relationship, quote-unquote, a relationship with his car. Or some woman is in a relationship with her house or a train or something. You're not in a relationship with that object. I'm sorry to tell you. And it's not because the object can't feel. It's not about the emotions. Right? Should a human being who has a condition like psychopathy, like a psychopath, right, can't feel empathy, can't feel emotions, should that person be treated with less respect? No, it's not your emotions that make you deserve respect. So if it's not your emotions that you can be in a relationship with a psychopath, if it's not your emotions that bar you from being in a relationship, what is it about the house that makes it so you can't have a relationship with it? It's not the emotions. It's not the intelligence. It's the fact that it doesn't have a rational soul. Just like the animal, you can't be in a relationship with an animal. So you can see that once you accept the idea that an animal is equal to a human, then everything has to be equal to a human. You don't even have the right to build a house because you had to break rocks, you had to make cement, you had to build structures up, take things from where they were, right? Take the stone from its home, kidnap it, make a house. There's no way to live. That's the problem, is most people have philosophies and they don't take them to their natural conclusions. You don't actually follow, well, if I apply this rule equally to everything, what's the end result? That's the thing about being a Christian, an Orthodox Christian specifically. We can stick to all of our rules completely and be completely intellectually consistent. You can't do that if you're saying animals are equal to humans. So it's very important to treat your pet with dignity and respect, yes, with love, yes. But understand that it is property and you can love your property and that's okay. But you can't be in love with it. You know, you can't love it the way you love another human. It's not the same, right? Just like you can't love another human the way you love God, right? God deserves our undivided, complete love and worship, surrender. Humans don't deserve that. It's perverse, same word, bending from a straight line. Bending from its purpose to use your devotion, your worship that's reserved for God alone on another human. Right, of course, and because of that reason, I understand why some people who don't understand Orthodox theology are turned off by veneration of saints. And we've talked about this before. We don't worship saints, we venerate them. Right, we pay them the highest honor. They are our brothers and sisters. They are part of the body of Christ, our family. So if you've never thought about this before, and I can imagine you haven't, because this is such an obscure thought, this is the kind of thing that only I would come up with, I want you to take away two things today. One, your pet is your property. You own your pet. You have legal ownership of your pet, right? Murder is not the same crime as animal abuse. They're both bad, but so is property abuse, also bad. So your pet is your property, one. And two, that you should always put things in their proper place. Put yourself in your proper place. Put the people around you in their proper place. Put God in his proper place, which is above everything else. That's why we have the seven commitments. So think about that today. If you have any pets, do you treat them like children? They're not children. Do you treat them like property? But do you have good stewardship over your property, right? It's called animal husbandry for a reason. You take good and loving care of these animals. They are wonderful creatures, right? And now my cat Dahlia is getting a little stir crazy. She's standing up now. She's sniffing the microphone. And fun fact, for those of you who noticed that some field logs will have a little scratching or squeaking noise in the background, Dahlia has a little breathing thing, and sometimes it gets picked up on record. So that's what that is. So, you know, she's a little inconvenient sometimes, but I love her. I do. As my property. But as property that feels, so I treat her with respect and love. Do that. Right? Nuanced opinions are correct opinions. Right? You can't just make blanket black and white statements. You have to be very nuanced in your beliefs. I love my cat, but she is property. I love my brothers in the church, but they are not God. And I love God unconditionally. So do that today. Think about that. Carve out some time if you want to. I don't think it's that big that you need to, you know, write it down and take 5 to 10 minutes to think about it. Just have a couple of minutes to think about it as you're driving, as you're walking. Am I putting things in their proper place? How am I treating my pet? And if you do that, you treat things the way they ought to be treated. Not only will you treat your animal properly and understand that it's not human and not a child, but you will also treat people with the proper respect they deserve. The funny thing is, even though I understand that my pet's my property, I take better care of her than most people do of their pets. I take her to the vet regularly, as I should. I brush her. I clip her claws. I feed her the food that she likes. I spend time with her. I play with her daily. So understanding what things are and what dignity and respect they deserve is going to help you be the most effective man you can be. So do that today. Think about it and remember that at the end of the day, your pet is your property.
That's it for this week's Field Log. If you like what you heard today, you can follow this podcast on whatever platform you're listening on right now. You can also rate the show. That always helps out a lot. You can find me on Instagram, Threads, and TikTok at marcian.cx for Field Log snippets, art, philosophy, and training-related content. You can also visit the website at marcian.cx for much more of the same. I'm still working on consolidating the Warrior King content into the marcian.cx project. So check back at the website soon for the new and improved Warrior King training protocol, which is going to include supersets and my updated supplement recommendations. There's also a 2024 goal setting guide on the way, and of course the Warrior King newsletter. If any of that sounds appealing to you, the links to everything are in the show notes below. It's all free, and as always, conquer the day.